Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, home of the only Howard's Flowers superfans. I know I'm one. And I'm Bob Mackey, your host, and today's episode is going to be Some Enchanted Evening. Actually, the pilot that aired last because it needed a lot of fixing. We'll get to that in a second. It aired on May 13th, 1990, and Chris, can you tell us what was going on in the universe?
Indeed I can, Bobby.
The Los Angeles Lakers' Magic Johnson wins the MVP award for a little organization known as the NBA. The pop charts are topped with a plea not to be hurt by Mr. MC Hammer, and Sammy Davis Jr. passes away this week of May 13th, 1990.
But impressions of him never did.
That's right.
I can't do one.
But this time, I think he even told the story of your parents being sad at Sammy Davis Jr.
Well, I was using him as an example of like a celebrity you've never heard of dying, and I feel like I'm saying that on Twitter now.
Yeah.
Aw, Burt Ward passed away. Who the fuck is Burt Ward?
Did he?
Burt Ward is very much alive.
I'll be sad when
I'm not starting any rumors.
I will be sad when Adam West dies.
Oh, so Some Enchanted Evening, which in all emails to you guys I refer to as the Babysitter Bandit, including these files.
Yeah. It should be called Garbage Poop from a butt.
sorry, it's been a while since we recorded.
It looks beautiful. It doesn't look like it belongs on the show.
Yes, some of it looks really good. We should probably say, like, it is the Babysitter Bandit episode. Mm-hmm. It has a very flimsy premise where there's all this high drama in the beginning. Like, oh, God, are Homer and Marge, it's Splitsville for them, isn't it? It's like
the fifth episode
this season where the stakes are this high for no reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean the rhyme, I'm sorry.
And then it instead turns into, like, a kids cartoon of the kids versus the evil Babysitter Bandit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I do want to add this predates Home Alone by several months.
Wow.
So,
probably several years into the animation process.
Yes.
Those hardworking Koreans having to do this episode like six times.
Well, should we talk about the behind-the-scenes thing first?
Sure.
I think we really need to.
Okay. Well, so I watched the extras on it, but this was their first production. They were working with Klasky Csupo as the production company and then outsourcing the rest of it to Korea. Mm-hmm. And so they got back in their first footage of the show, and this was to be like a September or fall premiere. Mm-hmm. And when it came in, they're like, this looks like shit. Like, it's on the season one DVD on the third disc. Homer looks like Fred Flintstone. Characters move...
Oh, like the original rejected animation?
The rejected animation, which... About 15% of it is in this episode.
And you can really tell. It looks like something that Ralph Bakshi did when he was like on a bender.
No, the characters are way too fluid, too rubbery. Like, Marge's lips become like an anteater at points.
Yeah.
And the acting is all over the place and bad. The camera angles just don't work. They talk about how in the commentary at one point, Marge just has this conversation with Maggie and she turns into a frog. Like, Marge is just gaining weight and losing weight.
Yeah. Your father dances like an angel. No, like her favorite, she literally is doing like the Exorcist 180 degrees.
It reminded me of a Liquid Television spot in a lot of parts, especially everything with the babysitter.
And the producers hated it. I'm wondering if Klasky Csupo is just used to working with like Saturday morning animation writers who didn't have all that much power. And now they're working with sitcom producers who are writers who are used to having all the power.
Mm. Or they weren't used to working with people who cared,
Or who cared, Or I think there are bits in this episode that the animation, the old animation, wasn't even bad. It was good, but it was not right.
Yeah, and it was a little
I think it's gorgeous and completely inappropriate for The Simpsons as we know it.
Yeah. One, their feeling was, it's funny to listen to the commentary because they're watching it for the first time in a very long time when they're watching it on the DVD.
Like us.
And James L. Brooks actually leaves the room. Like, it pissed him off. All he keeps saying is, gee whiz. Gee whiz. And it's just taking him back to, as the story goes, they showed it, and then everybody was super uncomfortable because the animators were proud and the writers knew it wasn't what they wanted. And then James L. Brooks just breaks the silence with just like, this is shit. And then Gabor Csupo says, what do you mean, shit? And then he says an awful thing that he clarifies, this is garbage. And then Gabor replies back, maybe writing is shit.
Yeah, they don't say it's Gabor Csupo, but it's clearly
they do
like,
his
hey,
voice.
Everybody.
Yeah, it's that guy.
Which, again, they thought the animators, even though apparently wasn't the intention, the animators thought that Dr. Nick Riviera was supposed to be Gabor Csupo, and they later did his voice.
Mm. I will say season 3 looks gorgeous, so let's not throw them under the bus too much. But no one knew how to make a TV cartoon like this. Even David Silverman was directing this too, and it was his like legit first piece of episode length TV animation.
Yeah, and so it came back wrong, and they actually said they were worried they could not even do the show if the second episode came back as bad. And we saw, we've seen Bart,
Bart the Genius, the roughest.
Which actually does look like shit, but not,
it does.
It still doesn't look bad compared to the original animation.
And I mean, the bad animation is still in this one, but what makes it bad for me as an episode is like, every episode this season we've been watching, it gets better and better. Like, there are more characters established.
Oh, we just watched Krusty Gets Canceled. It's like the high point for the whole season.
I'm sure it was not their intention to air two criminal-focused episodes in a row. And there was actually a comment in the most recent Talking Simpsons that said, like, who would have thought that Kelsey Grammer's character would return, whereas the Babysitter Bandit has been gone forever.
She never did.
She got away, too.
Yeah.
Played by Penny Marshall, too.
But, like I said, through season one, like, things are getting better and better and better, and then we hit this episode. We're back to ground zero. Characters are being introduced again. The world is tiny. It's just the Simpsons and Moe's Bar.
Yeah.
And, like, there are no jokes. Like, I had to, like, scour this episode for a single joke to write down that I liked.
Line of the show, this is the hardest one I've ever had trying to find a line of the show.
Well, and this was just written by Sam Simon and Matt Groening. Mm-hmm. This was meant to be the pilot and establish relationships. But that's the other thing that's really like back and forth about the episode. I made this note many times is that you occasionally do get like season two quality animation.
It's so weird.
There are moments where, like, this Marge is on point. Every character, like, Homer does like a finger twiddle that, like, oh, that's a classic David Silverman Homer finger twiddle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, then it just like, it veers back into the original animation.
Yeah, all those scenes with the America's Most Armed and Dangerous guy is like, looks like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
And like Bart and Lisa on the couch in that scene.
Yeah.
Like, they say like, wow, and like their mouth is like half the size of their head and it just looks weird.
I just put a screen cap of that on Twitter of them being tied up and just looking like little mutants.
Yeah, it took a lot of bad screen grabs from this episode. Tell you what I did like, introduction of one of my favorite characters ever, working for the wrong organization.
Ooh.
Now to our own pie in the sky, Bill Pie in the KBBL traffic copter. So come on in, Bill.
Bad news, drivers. There's an overturned melon truck on the interstate. It's a mess. There's
eating.
Lots of overnecking and melon wrestling going on.
First, yes, the sound effects, but I love Arnie Pie in the Sky.
Yeah, his name is
so
Bill
much.
In this, right?
I would like to think that's Arnie's his air quotes name.
Okay.
When
maybe
he finally
when he
gets a job,
a
when,
network,
when he goes to Channel 6, because right now he's at KBBL, the radio station, which can afford a helicopter in the air.
Yeah, they had a lot of radio station jokes back then, too.
And it's weird, because like, going through things for first. Like, this is the first episode. This is the first appearance of all these things.
One of the few written by Matt Groening and Sam Simon together.
And
the reason they didn't write too much together after that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a real odd couple.
So this would technically be the first appearance of Dr. Marv Monroe. And I love this exchange with Marge on the radio.
I actually did, I got it a lot more now as an adult as I did as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Next we have Marge. She's 34 and trapped in a loveless sham of a marriage.
Hey, 34. Turn it up. I love hearing those wackos.
Tell me about your husband, Marge.
Well, when we were dating, he was sweeter and more romantic and 40 pounds thinner. And he had hair. And he ate with utensils.
What was that last thing you said?
That was
again
a good
like
joke.
This whole exchange is great. I had to split it in two parts because it's so long.
I just made out that he used to eat with utensils joke.
Yes,
I couldn't hear it.
Yeah,
and with headphones, I can.
The cutaway is that Homer's listening with a bunch of his coworkers
who look like
plant.
Mutants too.
Yeah,
all the plant people.
If you don't, he's back to his old job that
he's
never had again.
Inspector
he's not
7G.
Safety inspector yet.
Husband sees you as nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
No. Don't hang up. The pig has made you into his mother. You are not the hot love object you deserve to be.
Really?
I'm as sure of it as I'm sure my voice is annoying. Tonight, the second he comes through that front door, you've got to tell him you're fed up. And if he doesn't start loving, you will be leaving.
Leave Homer?
Please, don't use his real name.
Leave Pedro?
That cutaway to everybody laughing at Homer in the plant.
Yeah. It's one of many times he's humiliated publicly in this first season in front of his coworkers.
He gets that a lot in season one. He really does.
Again, I can't help but fall back. Like, watching this with my dad, I'm there for Bart. And, like, all the Homer shit's really washing over me right now.
Yeah.
My concerns are Homer's.
Well, I will say that this first season viewing with you guys has also been weird because I have realized how much I identified Marge and Homer as my parents, or like, oh yeah, I and And so seeing all this marriage Gilberts. Strife at the same time as the Gilberts, the Gilberts have separated recently.
The Gilberts have been canceled.
And so to know that in real life, to then see this marriage strife between the two parents on the TV show I watched, it's just, it's weird. Yeah. It is weird.
This conflict doesn't go anywhere. I think like James L. Brooke was like sick that week because the resolution is like Marge prepares to tell Homer off.
Yeah.
Homer shows up with like a weak gesture and she immediately forgives him for no reason.
I love you, baby.
Okay, I'm going to say I was kind of mad at him in that one because there was no comeuppance to that. And I feel like in most sitcoms, they would have found out that he cheated or like he only did that because he knew she was upset thanks to the radio, but she never finds that out.
Yeah.
She just thinks that was just a random loving gesture for no reason that he just did. So he kind of cheated to get her back, but she doesn't get to find that out.
Marge set a really bad bar for shit I thought women would put up with.
Yeah. You just need flowers, right?
Yeah. Single rose.
Complete and utter dependence.
I don't know if I need to play these, but I'm going to anyway. Just because one of the things I noticed, unlike a lot of other episodes of The Simpsons, there are a ton of first-person perspectives.
Yes, they all, like, they stopped doing that, but the scene with Mo in the first person is...
Yeah, the
scene God, his face is melting.
Is everything okay, Homer? Usually you have a quick one, some peanuts, a hunk of beef jerky, a couple pickled eggs, and you're out of here.
Let's just say I don't feel like going home tonight. Jar, please.
Hey, you can go with me. We got a domestic situation.
Great sound
you might say that. My wife's gonna leave because she thinks I'm a pig.
Homer.
What?
Marge is right. You are a pig. You can ask anyone in this bar.
What? Hey, Barney, am I a pig?
You're more of a pig than I am.
Wrong burp again.
I know. I'm waiting for that classic Barney burp. When
Wrong
does it show
burp
up?
Again. I don't know. Because I don't think until season two.
Really?
Maybe midway through.
So I made the note that Mo understands women more in this episode than
so
he ever
nice
will again.
And giving Homer good advice for the first
and
time.
And helping
ever
him get back with Marge, which we will later learn is not what he wants to happen.
Yeah.
He does. Barney's a pig. Larry's a pig. We're all pigs. Except for one difference. Once in a while, we can crawl out of slop, hose ourselves off, and act like human beings.
That's a James L. Brooks line if there ever was.
And take her out for a night in a town. Candles, tablecloth, the whole nine yards.
Gee, a romantic evening. Nah, she's too smart to fall for that.
I like that line. I didn't like that.
I did. I mean, as much as I hate this episode, I did like the Simpsons low-budget like getaway to the off-ramp inn. Mm-hmm. And my favorite line in this episode is, give me another glass of the second least expensive champagne.
That is exactly what I do.
I live like that.
Every time I take my girlfriend out, let's get this. Try this one. It's like the second least expensive.
I want a little dignity.
Yeah. This is the Mo that will, years later, like point a shotgun in Homer's face and say, you're paying your bar tab.
Yeah. Running. He's very simple. He's like Lendonier, you know?
Yeah,
but I think that
I also think he was probably revoiced. Hank Azaria was not there for the first episode. Whoa. The very first episode.
That happens a lot. And actually,
you know what? I know he was revoiced because the awful flower shop dude is the original voice of Mo. That's
Christopher Collins.
Yeah, it's Christopher Collins.
Yeah, I think they just...
Cobra Commander, right?
I have him. You're right.
I'd like some flowers.
What kind of flowers?
You know, pretty ones, not dead.
Well, we have some beautiful long-stem roses. They're $55 a dozen.
One piece.
So, we have our first
death. Stalks you at every turn! There it is! Death!
Yeah, that guy, is that Christopher Collins?
I think so. I think he also played the maitre d' at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Let me look that up. But yeah, he is dead, and like apparently Sam Simon hated him, and had him fired and recast.
They hired a cartoon voice artist, and it turned out that's not what they wanted for the show. They didn't want a cartoon guy.
And it's weird, because I followed all the information off the Simpsons Wiki into, like, it came into a Google discussion board in the mid-90s, and all of this was corroborated by his son.
Whoa.
He's been dead for a while.
Since 94.
Okay.
Since 94. If it's the same, think of the same guy.
No, I think he was the original Mr. Burns, too.
He was, yes. I think they redubbed this episode for syndication, so the original voices are just on VHS tapes, whoever has them.
Yeah.
They're there.
But that, by the way, the flower shop was the worst animated scene in the episode.
Yeah.
It was real bad.
Homer, it existed in a green background.
Yeah, it looks like he's
stepping off into a dream.
There was a lot of that later on when with Babysitter Bandit, like a lot of characters against stark pink backgrounds.
The gradient.
Yeah, had weird white gradients. Like, no walls are painted like that.
It's like a watercolor wash or
something. Exactly,
yeah.
That's what I wrote.
Worse, it's Tracy Ullman show style.
I didn't think Botts, I don't think any of her scenes got redone. I think she...
Well, she, once again,
can't get Penny Marshall back.
Voiced by Penny Marshall. Yeah. Is she Laverne or Shirley?
She's LaVoyne.
LaVoyne.
Yeah.
She sounds like she's recorded in a different room, much like Christopher Collins.
Come, children, let's go watch the happy little elves.
Look, lady, we've seen the crappy little elves about 14 billion times. Maybe we can watch some real TV.
I said we're gonna watch the tape.
Aw, that's merely suggested viewing matter, lady. Mom lets us watch whatever the hell we want.
I said you're gonna watch this tape, and you're gonna do what I say, or I'm gonna do something to you. And I don't know what that is, because everybody has always done what I say.
This scene, I think Richard Williams flew in from Roger Rabbit to animate it. It is the most fluid, expressive animation ever done with those characters. And it's in the worst episode.
Yeah, it looks like the white zombie, the Rob Zombie sequence from Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Botts moves with such expressiveness.
Wait a minute.
It's incredible.
I meant to play this because, like, this made me really happy. Another voice appearance by someone who's fucking not dead. June Foray.
Oh, yeah.
Is in the episode.
She's still with us.
For no reason. She's almost 100.
She sounds it in this episode.
They hired her. I mean, they hired her.
30 years ago, she was playing, like, the most elderly character in the show.
They hired her for the first episode as kind of a legacy thing. They're just like, we got June Foray. We're going to have her on her first episode.
Well, the kind of thing I love about Rick and Morty, because it seems like... I don't know. Roiland seems to really love animation a lot.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's excited to get voice actors. I got Nolan North and Tom Kenny and Phil Lamar, and, like, they're just doing, like, one character once.
Yes.
And he treats them like stars. And I don't know. I love it.
I love that about Rick.
Babysitting service.
Hello, this is Mr. Samson.
Did your wife just call a second ago?
No, I said Samson, not Simpson.
Thank God. Those Simpsons, what a bunch of savages. Especially that big ape father.
That's
we find the Simpsons a very underrated family.
But she's June Foray. She plays like four characters throughout the show, including Happy Little Love. June Foray is the voice of Rocky the Squirrel. She's the voice of Magica the Spell and every female in the Looney Tunes.
Witch Hazel, Granny.
And Natasha Badenoff.
And, yes. And, but also, and you can really hear it when she plays one of the Happy Little Elves.
That's Rocky.
Completely Rocky.
Honestly, that was one of their best casting moves in the episode.
Yeah.
June Foray playing the crappy little elves are they're making fun of how awful Hanna-Barbera cartoons are that she would have been the voice.
I feel like
once
again derailed it with the sounds. Basically, they have to get Homer and Marge out of the house in order to get a babysitter who happens to be wanted by America's most armed and dangerous.
That's it.
And it was the Simpsons are watching this. Bart and Lisa.
The babysitter bandit has left a trail of her daring nighttime robberies across the continental United States. She could be lurking anywhere, about to descend upon another house full of unsuspecting dupes. In a moment, we will show you a picture of the real babysitter bandit, Miss Lucille Botsukowski. Remember, she may be using a clever alias. And should be considered armed and dangerous.
Mm.
Is this the first time that The Simpsons made a joke about Fox's own programming?
The America's Most Wanted start this year.
I think so.
It would have been nice. It had to be a reference to that show.
So. Yeah. Oh, well, obviously. Yeah, totally. But man, that animator, that footage too looked awful.
Yeah.
The armed and dangerous stuff that they were watching on TV looked like it was drawn on a
postage
stamp.
That was Christopher Collins. He's the voice.
I thought so, yeah.
The florist, you would only know from Office Space as one of the Bobs.
Oh,
that
really?
I believe he's one of the Bobs.
God, that's so bizarre.
Yeah, the sequence with the America's Most Armed and Dangerous, there's a guy taking a call in the background, and he seems to only have two frames of animation, closed mouth and open mouth.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was so distracting
this time.
It looks so bad. And the Botts... Also, Botts, I don't know, she's not a very good criminal, I'd say. How much could she really steal in those...
Well, the older and wider we get, the less we understand criminal. Because I'm like, dude, you could take everything in this house, and it's a lot of shit.
Yeah,
and
you're
gonna get maybe $3,000. You're gonna have to carry all this shit, and somehow
a lot of legwork on
fence these vinylmations. Like, This doesn't work out. You could easily make better money picking up cans.
Yeah. What she should have done is take kidnap the kids.
Yes.
And then you can charge ransom. That's a very easy fee to get.
I feel like there was no twist on this character. She was just mean. Yeah. There was no like, oh, she's eccentric or she does this or this is her quirk. It's just like, no, she's just mean and is going to be mean to the kids and not put up with their crap.
I guess you're just supposed to be like, whoa, Penny Marshall. But
not credited, though.
Yeah. Same deal. Her and Abe Brooks, they were both like bros of James L. Brooks, and they're like, fine, we'll do your dumb cartoon, but this could be this could come back to haunt my credits or whatever, so don't put my name on it.
See that Christopher Collins credited as Christopher Latta in, as Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe and Starscream on Transformers. He was the voice of America's Most Armed and Dangerous.
Yeah, all we knew him for was high-pitched screeching in our childhood. That's what he did.
And I just have, as a note, Homer and Marge are out dancing to a band called the Larry Davis Experience.
Who would come back.
They do, yeah.
They do. So glad you guys know something
about
this.
They were in multiple episodes. They played Marge and Homer's prom, for one thing.
Really? Yeah, they come back for the recreation of that in like a season 15
Is this
episode.
A joke? Is it like a writer they're making fun of? Who's Larry Davis?
It could be something that David Silverman knows.
I think it's a friend of a... Yeah, I would bet it's one of those. They also look too specifically drawn to not be real-life people.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
And Homer and Marge's dancing, it might be stupid. It might be from Classy Chupo, but just it was... It was fun visual gag.
Actually, like the dancing was one of the most redrawn parts of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
If you see in the thing, it was on the commentary version of the cut animation. Matt Groening talks about how that was one of his most hated things because he's like, this is their first night out in forever. They haven't danced in a very long time, so they should be bad at dancing and stiff, but still full of like energy. Yeah. And so that's I think it kind of is communicated there.
I can read it like that.
But then when they got the animation back, the animators just like, we want to show off how good we are drawing dancing. And so they just did this amazing dancing that they would not be capable of. Yeah. And then when they stop dancing and they do like conversation together, it then looks like a Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon where just they're close together, or more like Muppets, where they're just close together, you don't see their legs, and just hands swinging back and forth. They're like, oh, Mars. It looks like shit. It does look bad. Dog shit, man.
There's a lot of talk of having sex and then actual sex that happens, and it's just like...
I really didn't get that as a kid.
Yeah, neither. Like, they cut to the waterbed just going back and forth after they're done, after
they're
finished.
Oh, my God, I didn't even get that. That was still the motion ending. They're like, oh, okay,
Marge's hair is all messed up.
Yeah. Homer literally just came.
Yeah, it's weird to think of it in that context. So it was like when I was a kid, I was just like, oh, they're rocking in a bed together. Now I'm like, they've just finished having
sex.
They
just fucked.
Just stopped.
Yeah, this is not like that relevant, but I remember I watched a lot of The Cosby Show with a girlfriend who was way into it, and there are so many episodes that end with Claire and Cliff just getting ready to fuck.
Yes.
Like, it's fucking time.
Turn
this episode's going to end. Yeah.
Claire, I put something in your wine.
Oh, jeez.
They have to cut away before they have sex.
Yeah.
I did like that they... I was annoyed that Lisa was like, Lisa at this point has been established to be smart enough to know to call 911 and not the hotline for America's Most Armed and Dangerous.
I don't know if to read that as a joke. It's like they watch so much TV, they're like just
they
trapped in
the
that
TV
reality.
Told them to? I suppose so.
I think that could have been it.
I seem to appreciate it more and more when Lisa is actually treated like I like seeing her act like a little kid.
Yeah, but it is weird that she's like presented as the smart person. And again, I think I've mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. Why does she like the happy little elves?
It seems
like she's too smart for it. And that's
she
why
outgrew
I think they
it by
out.
Season two.
Yeah, it's no longer a thing after that. I think they realized.
A lot of the stuff with Maggie in this episode felt very short, too, of just like, Maggie, the indestructible baby who can do anything, can untie knots.
I was listening with headphones on, and I've never said this out loud. Like, Maggie, shut the fuck up with this stupid passage. It's like, I can't hear the line, Maggie.
But, I mean, at least in this episode, it was used to be, like, her Botts's downfall at the end.
Yeah.
Following the noise.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is weird to see that, like, Bart's done a lot of bad things. He hit a woman over the head with a bat.
Yeah. Bashed her head in.
Yeah, he also attempted to push a bowling ball onto her head.
Yeah, that could have been much worse.
He would have killed her.
Yeah. Again, predates Home Alone. Yeah. So.
What happened to their pickled beets?
That's one of the notes I wrote. Like, why... The Simpsons don't seem like a family that would... beets or whatever.
Beat
their pickles. No, I mean,
we all
Homer
beat
does.
Our pickles.
Yeah. But
I'm wearing a pickle beater right now.
Bart's attempt to murder Botts the first time with the bowling ball led to my quote of the episode, which is after it misses, he says, Seeing as no one was hurt, I think it would be really silly to dwell on this.
Yeah. I did like that line. I like,
so,
that.
Like, yeah. A total troublemaker thing. Like,
it doesn't
look,
count
I
as a line.
Successful,
this
but.
Is the best I could do for a line of the show, because there's like no good lines, and this is terrible, but it's a line.
Yeah. That's the joke.
Marge, what Marge says to close out the episode.
Lord help me, I'm just not that bright.
Oh, Homer, don't say that. The way I see it, if you raise three children who can knock out and hogtie a perfect stranger, you must be doing something right.
Yeah.
So that's not. Yeah. But my favorite,
it's a real shrug.
Only
of an ending,
laugh out loud moment I had was again the kids behaving like kids. They call the hotline and they turn in the babysitter bandit.
Hello, vigilant viewer. How may we help you?
We caught her. We caught the babysitter bandit. She's tied up at our house right now.
Ask if there's a reward.
Is there a reward? If she's convicted, we get T-shirts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the operator on the babysitter. Boring. The babysitter hotline is also the operator at.
Yes.
That seems like conflict of interest.
Yes. Also, you get to hear her say, you get to hear her pick up, but you don't hear her say, you get free T-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Hope someone got fired for that blunder.
Someone got fired for that blunder. As a kid, I remember being very upset that Bots got away with it. I was like, they let her get away with it, stupid Homer. Me.
I just like that he's labeled on the newscast as local boob.
Yeah.
Even that early.
What's so distracting in that scene is that like Homer's wearing a button-down shirt.
Yeah.
But it's like it's open a little bit.
He looks
and
very
you can
disco.
See chest hair. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think does he have chest hair?
He has
I don't
three
remember.
Chest hairs. I
oh,
believe.
It's just weird to see it.
Sometimes they draw it. Sometimes they don't.
It's weird to see it poking out of his shirt at the very least.
There's one joke we missed that I thought was important for viewers of the show for the first time. It's when Homer is shaving his beard.
Yeah. I think
that was just to show people this is a beard. These aren't giant lips. He's not inflamed. He wasn't stung by bees. This is a beard.
I love that joke.
Immediately returns.
I love the joke as a kid, but that does make sense as the perfect. Here's your introduction to Homer.
Yeah.
Never ask what this shit is again.
Mm-hmm. I am so jealous about how he can shave so easily. Yeah. As a person who does it now, it's like ugh,
I did. I thought it was weird that their conversations. Like I get it. They split them off. Lisa's learning about how to go on a date from her mom. Bart's learning it from her dad, but they're both just like, yeah, we're both about to go fuck, and we're telling you about our prep for it, kids.
Compare notes later.
Yeah,
you sit with them for a while for that.
Also, Homer, Bart says a line of like, "Don't do this like you did 11 years ago," which talking about walking her over the, they're implying they got married 11 years ago, which actually does fit with the timeline that Bart is 10. So if Bart, but she was pregnant with Bart when they got married. So if Bart is like 10 and 9 months in this episode, then still technically, I guess it was 11 years ago they got married.
I only believe in the Springfield where Link didn't show up to save it. That's my only true timeline. So I guess we have to wrap up. In the end, this was a bad episode with some with some tiny good moments, but at least they were able to salvage it, I think. But season 2 is going to be so great.
And we're going to launch live to the public. Yeah. Thanks
I'm
to Patreon. You guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I hope you guys have enjoyed this first season. It was fun re-exploring it, I think.
I totally agree. The season 1 is still valuable, and I found some great like hidden gems and jokes I didn't get before. So thanks so much for listening, and I guess, is that it for us?
Yeah, that's it for us. We will see you next season, which we're going to take a tiny break, I think, and we'll be back, I'd say, to line up Halloween to Halloween, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh.
I like it. So, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you soon with season 2.